Well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. And I want to talk about when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you. When the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you. And Holy Spirit was in this place today. We could sense His presence. And I believe He's wanting us to be more attentive and sensitive to Him, because there's more that He's wanting to do. And so Acts chapter 2, 1 to 8, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. If you have another translation, I'm sure you'll be able to follow along as well, and it'll also be on the screen here. So on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. And when they heard the loud noise, everyone came running. And they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. "How can this be?" they exclaimed. "These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages." And may the Lord bless His word to our hearts today. Well, this morning I've been feeling, actually over these last few weeks, that to share with you about the Holy Spirit. And I really believe that the Holy Spirit is wanting to get our attention, to do our work in our lives and in our church. And I feel that we just need to be more aware of the Holy Spirit and give place for Him in our lives and in our church. And even in our worship today, as our worship team, they gave room. They went in, they sang some other songs they weren't planning on singing. And that's part of when you give the Holy Spirit room. And certainly a prayer of ours would be, may God help us to be more sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church and to our lives, because there really does need to be a greater expectation of what the Spirit is wanting to do in our land at this time. And so I thought I would share over the next few weeks on the Holy Spirit and what we should be expecting, especially when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of our lives. And so I just want to talk to you a little more about the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus, before ascending into heaven, told us that our Heavenly Father will give us another comforter, a counselor, an advocate, and that He is the Holy Spirit who will lead us into all truth and will live inside of us. He's the third person of the Trinity and desires to be very active in our lives. He promises to be with us. He promises to empower us. He promises to help us live the Christian life. And so He's a lot more than just a comforting presence in our lives, because He wants to lead us, guide us into what is best. And He likes to come alongside of us, work in our lives that we might exceed and experience and do great things. You know, sometimes as Christians, we only know the Holy Spirit as that comforting presence or that witness inside of our hearts that, you know, we ask Jesus Christ to come into our lives and, you know, we sense that, we feel that. Well, that's one of the things the Holy Spirit does. But sometimes that's all that we have experienced. And the Holy Spirit wants to be a lot more active in our lives if we will open ourselves up to Him, because He really does want to do a work that in many ways would not be possible without Him working in our lives. And, you know, a good prayer, and I like to pray this myself, I was praying it through the song services they were singing as well, is, "You, Holy Spirit, I welcome You in this place. Holy Spirit, I welcome You here today." And sometimes at home or wherever I might be, "Holy Spirit, I welcome You in my life right now." While I'm driving or whatever I'm doing, you can simply say that little prayer, "Holy Spirit, I welcome You, and I give You permission to do more in my life." And I think that's something where we all need to be, to give permission for the Holy Spirit to do more in our lives, that we want more of the Holy Spirit to be present in our lives. So welcome Him, and welcome Him in a greater way, that you're willing to consecrate yourself, that you might see the work of the Holy Spirit even more in your life, to welcome the Holy Spirit, to fill you with his presence, to baptize you with anointing, because there's so many more things we can experience in God. God always has more for us. And if you're a believer and you've been a believer for 50 years or more, I want to tell you something. There's still more for you to experience. You do not come to a place where you've experienced it all. God always has more for you. And, you know, as we welcome into life, he can rock our world. And I hope that you want your world to be rocked for good things as the Holy Spirit begins to move in your lives. And I really believe that the Holy Spirit is wanting to bring us into a new season of power and anointing for such a time as this. These are unusual times that we are facing, and the Holy Spirit is wanting to move in us, work through us in the season that we are in. He wants to give us a special anointing as well. And, you know, great things happen when the Holy Spirit begins to move. And we've seen that throughout history as we've seen various moves of the Holy Spirit happening, many revivals, awakenings that have taken place. And you know what? The Holy Spirit still is wanting to do that. And I think that we're in a place of really a crisis in our own nation where we need a move of the Holy Spirit. Just like that song that you were singing today, we need a move. We need a move in our nation, our province, in our church, and I trust that you're believing for that. And I also believe that St. Paul and this Lakeland region are very important in that regard as well. Personally, I believe that we are even a hub of for this move of the Holy Spirit that is to take place. And some of you would remember, if you've been in church here long enough, that's been declared a number of times by various prophets and evangelists, that this is a hub of what God is wanting to do in this area. I remember, I think it was a couple of months ago, I was talking with Adam, and Adam showed me a map of the railroad system where St. Paul was actually considered the hub of the Northeast. And as I was just kind of Googling that information, it kind of gave me another word that was in. It was a critical hub for the Northeast area of Alberta. And I still believe that in a spiritual realm, this is a critical hub for what God is wanting to do. And, you know, thinking of some of the other things that have been declared over this community, when we had the Minister of Defense that has come to this community and declared in our centennial year that this is the centennial capital of Canada. That's quite a statement for him to make, because we're not the capital, but he declared that over our community and over this area. And then another interesting little thing, tidbit, there is when you go to the monument that we have and that landing pad, and you go in, there's a map of Canada. All those little rocks that are on that map, that make up that map, each rock came from the province it's representing. And I think there's something that, you know, Holy Spirit is trying to get across to our area and to our community, and I believe he's trying to get our attention. There's something special about our area, our region, and that God is wanting to do some great things. And I really believe there's a special calling on this church, on our region, for us to experience a greater moving of the Holy Spirit that's going to result in a harvest of souls, salvations, healings, and miracles. And that's one of the reasons I'm still here. I still believe that. I'm still convicted about that. And I still desire that. And I feel called to be part of that. But there is something greater that the Holy Spirit is wanting to do in our midst. And I hope you feel that same way. And that you'll keep pressing in, even though, you know, there's been some delays. We always want things to happen a whole lot faster than what they do. And, you know, sometimes we go through that because, you know, really we can either help usher in a move of God or we can help hinder a move of God. We have to make some choices. And I trust that you're going to make a choice that you're going to press in to help open up those doors that we might see a move of God in our church, in our town, in the community surrounding us, and in our Lakeland region. Another word that you've heard numerous times, especially those that have been here in this church, for a long time. Habakkuk 2:3. Many of you remember how often that was spoken. It used to actually have it written on the wall back there. And it says, the vision is for a future time. It describes the end and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. Or as the King James Version would say, though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. And certainly that's a dream I've not given up on. It's a promise, and I keep believing to keep pressing in that we might see a move of the Holy Spirit that will change our whole area, not just our church, but our whole area. And, you know, just to help you kind of along that thinking, I thought we could maybe look over some areas to see, you know, well, what really should we expect if the Holy Spirit's going to move? Well, what does that involve? What takes place if the Holy Spirit begins to move in a special way? And now I know we could look at past revivals and or even present revivals of what God is doing across our world. And I think Canada as a nation is overdue for a revival. And so we're still believing for a revival coast to coast. I really believe that from sea to sea and shore to shore. I really do believe that. And so this morning I just want to take some time to just look at some things that as the Holy Spirit begins to move, things that you can expect to see happen and to take place. And as I was just kind of going, reading through the book of Acts and really mainly concentrating in Acts chapter 2, I had quite a list. And as I was doing this sermon, I realized that, okay, you're not going to get through all your points here because you had 10, 11 points. You ain't going to make it. And so I said, okay, I better stop. And so you're not going to get the full message. You'll have to come back next week. And we'll kind of pick it up from there. But the first thing we see when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of us, there will be anointing of power that gets released to us. And for that, when you go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, very familiar, I'm sure, to a lot of us, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, through Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And so when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of us and begins to move in our midst, there will be an enabling inside of us to live the Christian life, to be better Christians, and that there will be a new fire to serve the Lord. Now, for some of you, maybe you've been kind of feeling, you know what, I kind of lost that fire. I don't have a burning passion to serve the Lord right now, and I know I need to get it back. Well, Holy Spirit's the answer. Let's get back to seeking the Holy Spirit, being sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is wanting to do. And when he begins to empower us, there's no more shyness. There's no more stepping back from things. There's no more living in failure. Or rather, there's an overcoming spirit that comes upon us where we conquer fear, we conquer those struggles, we conquer addictions, and we have a strong faith that helps us to be overcomers in all areas. And so a faith where new boldness arises in us helps us to live our own faith, but also helps us to share our faith. So in other words, we have a new passion, a new fire inside of us. There's a new excitement inside of us, and it's not easily quenched because it's really strong inside of us. And then that goes into a confidence where we start sharing that same faith out to others. And that's what the Holy Spirit will begin to do. So a confidence so strong that we become people bent on telling others about the gospel every opportunity we get. And that's a good thing. We want to be effective witnesses for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God's desire working through the Holy Spirit is what? Souls, people, to draw people to himself. And God wants to empower you to do that, to start drawing people. And you've probably noticed that there's more and more people are willing to talk about God. More and more people are asking questions about God. You can't go anywhere really and without finding someone that wants to talk about God and wants to have further understanding. And so let's pray. Holy Spirit, work in me. Work in me. Grant me that anointing and that power, that new enthusiasm with you, God. Give me a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit, because that's what we need. We need a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit, a fresh burning in our souls. And so if you're at that place where you kind of find, you know, Christianity, it's not all that exciting of late, to be honest with you, Pastor. Well, what do we need? We need a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. We need a fresh touch from Him and to say, Holy Spirit, come touch me. Come anoint me. Come empower me by your Holy Spirit, because we shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. And so when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of us, you know what? You're going to be a stronger Christian. You're going to be having a greater boldness in your life. It's going to be a greater excitement in your life to serve the Lord. And you're also going to be a better witness for Jesus Christ. So that's a pretty good start right there when we look to what can take place or what we can expect when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of our lives. And then secondly, when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, there's going to be a new desire for unity, working together, putting aside differences, opinions for the gospel's sake. Acts 2:1 says, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. And that translation loses a little bit of the thought. The King James says it this way, they were in one accord. In other words, they were unified. They were working together for the gospel's sake. And when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, one of the things you're going to find is that your personal preferences all of a sudden become less and less. Your likes and dislikes, suddenly they're not going to matter as much. And they're going to start to fade away because you're going to be wanting to work together as the body of Christ, to work together. That unity is still important today. And you can think of many revivals and growth of churches that have happened because people got unified, worked together, and God began to move. Now, you also can think of times where the church didn't get unified and it disintegrated. It divided and soon was no more. So we definitely don't want that part, but we do want that part where the Holy Spirit begins to work in us, unifies us, makes us stronger together, and where we want to work together for the gospel's sake. So unity should be your goal. Working together is going to be your new desire. Learning to deny yourself and put others above yourself. Working in your own local church or your local area to accomplish what the Spirit is wanting to do in your church and in your area. And so as the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, all of a sudden you're more concerned about the body of Christ. You want to be with the body of Christ. You want to be in church just like you are today. That's going to happen. That's going to take place. And as he gets a hold of you, any criticism, you know, any divisive talk or any of those kinds of things, they're going to fall to the wayside because you're going to be excited to be with the body of Christ and to see what God is going to do. That, you know, we come to church each Sunday saying, I wonder what's going to happen today. Man, I want to be there because I don't want to miss what God is doing. And so when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, I tell you, it's going to affect your personal preferences. It's going to affect your opinions. And it's going to affect you that all of a sudden the body becomes your desire and that you want to work with the body of Christ. And so when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, expect to see unity. Expect to see one accord. Expect to see people coming together, working together, having a passion to be with one another, because that's what the Holy Spirit will do. Then thirdly, when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, you will receive and experience some suddenlies, things unexpected, surprising things will begin to happen. Good things begin to happen. Acts 2:2-3 says, suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And so when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, a whole new realm of suddenlies can begin to happen. Supernatural signs, again, that God is with you, that God is wanting to move in your midst. And that can happen unexpectedly and can be unusual, because there are to be a sign to the believer and a sign to the unbeliever. They're designed to get people's attention that God is real and he's in your midst and that God is wanting you to do something great in your life. You know, you can think of the Christmas story. Just a month ago, we had the Christmas story. A lot of suddenlies took place. Suddenly, There was the appearance of heavenly angels. Suddenly, there was a star in the sky leading people to the birthplace of Christ. Suddenly, there was this group of magi that were traveling through, and they were interested to find who this Jesus was going to be. There was a suddenly that while the virgins of Israel were waiting and for years and years and years for a virgin to be to birth the Son of God, suddenly that did happen. So suddenly, they really are designed to get people's attention, that God is real and that God is about to do something great and wonderful. And they happen quickly. Usually you can't predict them or when it will happen. You may sense a nearness of an event, but guaranteed you're going to be surprised. And one of the prayers I like to pray is I'd like to give God permission to say, God, it's okay if you want to surprise me. Even if I get a bit scared or makes me jump or whatever, it's okay because I really want to experience what you would have for us and for our church. And so that's what the Holy Spirit can do. When the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, you're going to start seeing some suddenlies, some surprises that start taking place. And God is. He's encountering people in our world like never before. A lot of Damascus Road experiences like the Apostle Paul in the Bible, who encountered a blinding light and then hearing a voice from heaven. And testimonies like that are still coming forth today. And then there's the dreams, and then there's the visions that people are having and that are causing them to come to faith in Jesus Christ. And I'm even hearing those in this congregation as well. Been hearing a lot of dreams of late, a lot of visions of late. Some of them have been about the church. Some of them have been about them and what God is wanting to do in a person's life. And all I can say is that, Lord, more, Lord, more, Lord. We want to see more signs and wonders. We want to see visions and dreams repeat. We want to see people come to faith in Jesus Christ. And that can happen to a group of people who are seeking the Lord or even on an individual basis. But let's not forget that suddenlies, again, it's all about drawing people to who? To Jesus Christ. That's what's important, drawing people to Christ. It also does show us that God is about to do something great and amazing, but those are kinds of things that happen when the Holy Spirit really gets a hold of your life. More encounters, more visitations, more suddenlies, more drawing people to faith. Those things are going to happen. They're going to take place. Another blessing that we receive when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of us is that we start worshiping God in a new tongue. Acts 2:4 says, "And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability." Many would call this the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And it's an experience complementing the presence of the Holy Spirit already inside of us, where there's a release of power, boldness, a new tongue that can come as we praise our God and as we pray to our God that's inspired by the Holy Spirit. It can be known as a language of the world, or it can be known as a language of heaven. And it's kind of cool when that happens, when it's a language of the world. And usually it's, you know, it's not like, well, are you French or English or language says that everybody knows, but be a language that maybe there'd be one person in a service that hears somebody speak in a tongue and they recognize, that's my language. That's my language. And those are kind of cool experiences that take place. And there's a whole lot more we can talk about that and maybe a few other weeks as we continue to look at that. But that language is to help us. It's to encourage us. It's to help us to pray more effectively. It's a sign even to unbelievers and certainly a sign that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And again, you've got to remember, Holy Spirit always has more for us. You know, don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit because he's only got good things for you. And you know, and it shouldn't be, you know, that, you know, well, I'm worried about tongues or whatever. It should be wanting, I want more of the Holy Spirit. If he wants me to stand on my head, I'm fine with that. I don't really care what he wants. I just want to be in that place that I might experience more of him. Because the Holy Spirit wants to immerse me in his presence. Not just, you know, to have him inside. He wants to immerse me. He wants to come all over me like a baptism. That you go down in the water and you get covered. That's what Holy Spirit is wanting to do. He wants us to immerse each one of us in his presence and in his power. And as he does so, you know what? There are going to be some signs that are going to come forth. One of those signs is going to be that all of a sudden you might find people speaking in tongues. But there's other things that are supposed to happen too that I find sometimes people start concentrating on the tongues and they miss the other important parts where the Holy Spirit is supposed to give you a boldness. He's supposed to give you a fire, supposed to help you live the Christian life. And I think sometimes people miss the fullness of the Holy Spirit because kind of stop at one part, like, hey, I got him in my life. That's good enough for me. But then others, oh, I can speak in tongues. Well, what about the other? Do you have power? Is there anointing in your life? Are you living the Christian life in a greater way? So there's lots of things that we should be wanting to experience the fullness of Holy Spirit because he wants to demonstrate his power and his fire and his boldness in our walk and in our life. And you know, the baptism really should change us. The way that we talk, the way that we walk, the way we live our faith. And if it's not changing in our lives in those areas, I think we better go back and say, I need another dip, God. I need another dip. I missed a few things there. And so, Lord, I want a fresh dip. And I ask you to fill me again. Fill me with your presence. Fill me with your presence. You know, so we should be desiring more of the Holy Spirit. And that we'd be changed people. And that we'd all have a boldness, an excitement, a power, and even a new tongue to communicate to our God. Because it is a great experience if you do speak in tongues, that you can pray in tongues. You can sometimes you don't know what to pray for somebody. And it's amazing as you start praying in tongues, things start to happen. Things start to occur. And so it's a great element that can help us in our prayer life and also praying for other people. And again, don't be afraid of it. Because it's just another work of the Holy Spirit that he's wanting to do in all of our lives. He just wants to fill us. He wants to give us everything that we need to help us live the Christian life and to be strong Christians. So again, great experience, great help in serving the Lord, great help in regards to prayer and all those things. But again, it's another expansion of what we can expect when the Holy Spirit starts to get a hold of people. You're going to start seeing those things. You're going to hear somebody probably speak in tongues. You're going to probably see something. People get really, really excited about God, and you're kind of like, what happened? What happened? Well, the Holy Spirit got a hold of them. And you know what? I think all of us could use a fresh touch of that, a little more excitement for the Lord again. You know, Canadians are very much known that, you know, we're very reserved. We're very quiet and all that. Most other cultures of the world are they demonstrate it a whole lot better than a lot of us do. We're pretty quiet, and I think, you know what, us Canadians, we need to kind of get zapped a little bit more by the Holy Ghost, bring some excitement in our churches and in our lives. And so when the Holy Spirit begins to move, should expect people to experience a greater fullness of the Holy Spirit in their lives, and even a new tongue, speaking in tongues, to take place. And then number five, when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, you will experience times of amazement, times of awe, times of surprises that will really get people thinking about God. Acts 2, 6 to 8, when they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed, these people are from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Because the day of Pentecost, many people, from other Jews from around the world, were coming back to the temple. And as that day happened, people that knew different languages of the world, all of a sudden we're hearing these people speak in a different language. And they heard that sound, that there was a mighty rushing wind. Where did it go? What happened? Well, that's what can take place when the Holy Spirit begins to move. There can be things that will amaze people. There'll be things take place that people will just simply stand back in awe, and they will wonder, what's going on? What's taking place? And so when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, things begin to happen. Yeah, there can be sounds from heaven. There can be lights and fires and even people speaking in other languages and people seeing angels and all kinds of other things like that. You know, it's, again, if you go back to the Christmas story, we look at that. What created some awe? Well, suddenly there was an angelic appearance and the shepherds were watching that, blew them away, and they were scared to death, literally, and changed their lives. What happened during the birth of Christ? There was things happening in the heavenlies where there happened to be one star that began to shine brighter than the other stars, and it was pointing in one direction. That's quite amazing how that can take place and happen. Dreams. Think of the dreams. You read in the Gospels all the dreams that took place where God was directing Joseph and Mary so that they could escape the evil. Or to think of, you know, here's the Messiah being born. The people of Israel should have been the people that should have recognized that, should have been ready, should have been excited about that. And what happens? We see a group of magi, people from another territory, probably didn't even know Jesus, didn't worship Jesus, but they knew something was taking place. And in amazement, they made a big, long journey to find out, where is this star leading us? Something significant is taking place. And so when the Holy Spirit begins to move, expect things to happen that will surprise and amaze you. Even things in the heavenlies that will start taking place to draw our attention. And I've been kind of thinking, you know, the Northern Lights and how these last 2 years are supposed to be the year that are going to be the greatest for a long, long, long time before they get great like that again. Don't you think that's maybe God just trying to get people's attention a little bit to see the glory of the Lord, seeing all those beautiful, bright lights? There's a lot of things that are starting to take place. And when the Holy Spirit, you know, gets a hold of you, you're going to start seeing some things. Things that will cause awe. Things that will cause amazement. And again, there's a purpose for all that. Not just that you're going, oh, wonderful. No, because it's to draw you to Him. It's to draw you into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so I look forward to seeing more events that are going to cause awe in people's lives. You know, with amazing signs, unusual miracles. Miracles in the sky, miracles of healing in people's lives, unexplained happening, dramatic conversions, encounters with God. Again, all of that purpose, they all have a purpose. Draw people to Jesus. That's what's important. Draw people to have a faith in Jesus Christ. So that's important for us to recognize. And I think we need to get ready for some prizes from God. Some events that people are going to recognize that I think that's a God sign. And they're going to suddenly talk to you and say, I notice a certain thing happen. Do you think that's God reaching out to me? And you should be ready to say, yes, that is. That is God reaching out to you. He's wanting to touch you. He's wanting you to come to Him and to have faith in Him. And so I look forward to some supernatural events, some signs and wonders, some amazement. And my prayer is, yeah, grant it, Lord. Yeah, grant it, Lord. Grant it, Lord. And so that's what the Holy Spirit, you know, desires to do. Signs, wonders, amaze people. Again, bring this, they all have the same purpose. Bring people closer to a faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I do have another 6 points, so I'm not going to go into those this Sunday. We'll leave that for next Sunday. But just so you understand, the Holy Spirit is wanting to do more in our lives individually and corporately. And I really believe He's wanting to get our attention to be more open to what the Spirit is saying and what the Spirit is wanting to do. You know, I always think of the book of Revelations and the messages to the 7 churches that are there and how that each message ends with a phrase. And it basically says, He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. We need to be sensitive as churches to what the Spirit is saying. And I know there's a lot of voices out there today that, you know, we hear this happening, that taking place. Some people, things are causing fear, and there's just so much information out there in our world today. Listen, the most important information you need to be seeking is what the Holy Spirit is saying. What is the Holy Spirit? And so it is time to be listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit for ourselves and not to be leaning on all those other voices that are out there. The Holy Spirit is wanting to speak to us as individuals and also as a church. And so I guess the question is, are we open to the Holy Spirit? Are we desiring to experience more that the Holy Spirit has to offer? And friends, I tell you, I'm wanting, that's my prayer, God, I want to be more sensitive to you, Holy Spirit. I want to be quicker to know what the Spirit is saying instead of what everything else in this world is saying. I already want to be better in tune with him. And so my own prayer was that too. Holy Spirit, I'm welcoming you in my life. And I want you to know that, Holy Spirit, I welcome you. I say, you get going in the morning. Holy Spirit, I'm welcoming you. I'm in a church service. Holy Spirit, we want to welcome you into this gathering because we want to experience more of you. And that's what we're looking for. That's what we're desiring. And as we come this last week of January, and usually we pick the first part of January. I thought this year we'll pick the end. But just to encourage you to fast and pray this week and to be looking to the Lord and saying, Holy Spirit, what are you wanting to say to me this year for 2026? What are you wanting to say to me personally? And then after you get through that, you can start praying that for the church as well. Holy Spirit, what are you saying to us as a church? And as you start getting some downloads from God about that, share it. Share it with others and say, hey, you know what? I've been feeling the Holy Spirit been saying this about our church. I've already had some people come to me with some dreams that they've been having about the church, and they've been really good. I've been really blessed by that. But Holy Spirit is wanting to work in us. And even this morning, I had a person contact me and say, hey, Pastor, you were looking for a sign. I don't know what that is, but Pastor, I think this is a sign that I'm to contact you and tell you that. Holy Spirit is wanting to work more in our lives. And so as we come into this new year, I really believe that Holy Spirit is wanting to grab our attention, kind of wants to shake us a little bit and kind of say, I want you to hear what I have to say, because there's a lot of things happening in our world right now. I think we need to hear what God has to say and what he has to say over what everyone else is saying. But the Holy Spirit is wanting to speak to the church. He's wanting to speak to you and to me. And so, you know what? Let's seek more of the Holy Spirit. Let's give him permission. Even though maybe you won't know how God's going to work through you or how the Holy Spirit's going to work through you, that's okay. Surprise me, Lord. Surprise me. I just give you permission to work in me. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill me to overflowing. I just want to get baptized. I want to get immersed in your presence. I just don't want to feel a little bit of your presence. I want it to feel all over me. I remember, I think I shared the story a few times with you, but anytime I talk about Holy Spirit, it always comes back to me. And we were doing a course, and it was about how close is the Holy Spirit? And I remember in my mind walking into that classroom, like, oh, that's easy, you know. He's close. He's real close. And I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, no, you're wrong. I said, no, I'm not. I know what the Bible says. And then I just hear him say, no, I am all over you. I'm all around you. And that's what he desires to be. He desires to be all around us. He desires to baptize, immerse us in himself. And he has so much more for us. And so as we look forward to the rest of this 2026, as we come to church in this place, let's raise some expectation of what Holy Spirit is going to do. Let's kind of be paying attention to what Holy Spirit may be trying to quicken us or trying to get across to us. There's some messages that the Holy Spirit is wanting to speak to each and every one of us. And we just need to be saying, it's okay, Holy Spirit. I welcome you to speak into my life. I welcome you to direct my life. I welcome you to lead my life. I welcome you to fill me with your presence and your power. I pray for a new fire inside of me because I'm not satisfied where I'm at. I want a new fire, a new joy in the things of God. Fill me. Fill me, Holy Spirit.